Jayoradamadhava Jayokunjabihari Jayoradamadhava Jayokunjabihari Jayogopijanavallabha Jayo Giri Varada Hari Jayo Giri Varada Hari Jayo Vallabha Jayo Giri Varada Hari Jayo Gopi Janna Vallabha Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Soda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Soda Nandana Soda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Soda Nandana Ranjana Amuna Tira Avanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Jayo Gopi Janna Vallabha Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Sodanandana Brajadana Ranjana Sodanandana Sodanandana Brajadana Ranjana Sodanandana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Avanachari Natira Vannachari Natira Vannachari Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Jayo Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sisi Radha Madhava Shri Krishna Mahaprabhu ki Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Shlokas 65 and 66. Shloka 66 on the board, so we'll chant. Devakim Vasudevam Cha. Nigrihya nigadair grihe jatam jatam ham putram tayo rajana shankayam devakim vasudevam cham nigrihya nigadair grihe jatam jatam ham putram Tayor Ajana Shankayam. Please chant. Matris. Devakim, Devaki, Vasudevam cha, and her husband Vasudev, Nigrihya, arresting, Nigadai, by iron shackles, Grihe, confined at home, Jatam Jatam, each one who was born, one after another. Ahan, killed. Putram, the sons. Tayo, of Vasudeva and Devaki. Ajana Shankaya, with the doubt that they would be Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After the departure of great Saint Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Fearing his death, Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki and chained them with iron shackles. Suspecting each of the children to be Vishnu, Kamsa killed them one after another because of the prophecy that Vishnu would kill him. Purport. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, in his notes on this verse, has mentioned how Narada Muni gave Kamsa this information. This incident is described in the Harivamsa. Narada Muni went to see Kamsa by providence, and Kamsa received him very well. Narada therefore informed him that any one of the sons of Devaki might be Vishnu. Because Vishnu was to kill him, Kamsa should not spare any of Devaki's children, Narada Muni advised. Narada's intention was that Kamsa, by killing the children, would increase his sinful activities so that Krishna would soon appear to kill him. Upon receiving the instructions of Narada Muni, Kamsa killed all the children of Devaki one after another. The word Ajana Sankhaya indicates that the Lord Vishnu never takes birth, Ajana, and that he therefore appeared as Krishna, taking birth just like a human being, Manushim Tanum Ashritam. Kamsa attempted to kill all the babies born of Devaki and Vasudev, although he knew that if Vishnu were born, he would not be killed. Actually, it came to pass that when Vishnu appeared as Krishna, Kamsa could not kill him. Rather, as foretold, it was he who killed Kamsa. One should know in truth how Krishna, who takes his birth transcendentally, acts to kill the demons but is never killed. When one perfectly understands Krishna in this way, through the medium of Shastra, one becomes immortal. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Tharine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorat Vishya Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So it's very auspicious that we started the 10th canto just a couple of months before Janmashtami, and there's less than a month to go, so it's very auspicious that we read the shlokas in this way. We can prepare our consciousness for the most auspicious appearance there of the Lord. So in the previous shlokas we heard how Kamsa, after hearing the voice from the sky, wanted to kill his own sister Devaki, but then Vasudeva engaged all his diplomatic skill to convince him otherwise, and he managed to pacify Kamsa. So Kamsa let them go without killing Devaki, but Vasudeva had to promise that he will give him all the newborn children. So the situation was somewhat pacified, but now there is a twist. Narada Muni comes and he incites the Kamsa again. And Kamsa again becomes enraged. So one can question, what is Narada Muni doing? He's doing exactly the opposite what Vasudeva was trying to do. Is he participating in the murder of the newborn children? But this objection is no valid. Nobody can blame Narada Muni. He's a completely transcendental personality without any tinge of any material defects. He's the well-wisher of all human societies, so whatever he does is good for demigods, for humans, and even for demons. Like Lord Krishna's activities are good for everybody. Similarly, activities of a transcendentally liberated person like Narada Muni always good for everybody. So Narada Muni, he wanted Lord Krishna to appear as soon as possible in order to kill Kamsa and give pleasure to demigods and to save the human society, to save the Yadus and Vrishnis who were suffering, being oppressed under the rule of Kamsa. And the background of the story how Kamsa got to know from Narada Muni is found in Harivamsa. Srila Prabhupada here, Kujiva Goswami, who quotes from Harivamsa. So Harivamsa Purana, it's an appendix to Mahabharata and especially deals with the activities of Lord after the battle of Kurukshetra, but also describes the other activities of the Lord, like in this case, before his birth. Harivamsa was first time spoken by sage Vaishampayana to Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. And in that assembly, Sutta Goswami was present. So later, Sutta Goswami, he repeated Harivamsa to the sages of Naimisharanya. And many Vaishnavacharyas like Jiva Goswami quote for Harivamsa, taking for an authoritative source. So it's described there that Narada Muni was traveling through the space and once upon a time he arrived at the outskirts of Mathura. And then he sent a messenger to call Kamsa. It's interesting to see when Narada Muni comes to the palace of Pandavas or some other kings, he doesn't send a messenger, but in this case, he sent a messenger. And he himself stayed in the garden outside of Mathura. So messenger came to Kamsa and told him, great sage Narada Muni is here, he's inviting you, please come to visit to see him. And Kamsa had so much of a culture that he took all paraphernalia for worship together with the golden throne and came in front of Narada. So he seated Narada on the golden throne, did Pada Abhishekam, he washed his feet, and then he did whole puja. Interesting, even demons sometimes have a culture to properly respect the great sages. And Narada Muni, he was pleased with Kamsa. And he told me, my dear king, I'm very pleased with you. And because I'm your well-wisher, I'm going to tell you something that it will be very beneficial and useful for you. I was traveling in the realms of demigods, in heavenly planets. I visited different places like Nandandavana, forests, and other celestial gardens. I bathed in Mandakini and Ganga, holy rivers, the flow in these regions. And eventually, I came to the Mount Meru. On the top of that mountain, there is a Brahmapuri, the city of Lord Brahma. And there, I went to the palace of Lord Brahma. I was greeted by many apsaras, gandharvas, singing the glories of Lord Brahma. And many demigods and sages were also there, present in the assembly. And I listened what they spoke. And just imagine, Kamsa, they spoke about you. Kamsa was shocked. Demigods are speaking about me. And Narada continued, they spoke that very soon a person is going to appear on this earth who is going to kill you. And imagine who is going to be that? It is going to be the son of your own sister. Eighth son of your own sister. And hearing this, Kansa almost got a heart attack. By the way, it's usually mentioned that Devaki is described as Kansa's sister, but in English we would rather say a cousin or cousin sister, because she was not born of the same father or mother. She was the daughter of Kansa's uncle. But anyway, we say it was his sister. And then Narada Muni continued, this person is a very mysterious person, and he is the shelter of all demigods, and he is quite capable of killing you. But because I'm your well-wisher, I'm your friend, I'm telling you that you can prepare yourself. You should try to kill him before he kills you. So I gave you this information. Now I'm leaving. And Narada Muni left confused Kamsa and took off flying through the space. And what was Kamsa thinking after that? His state of mind was very confused. But still, because his servants were present around him, he didn't want to admit that he was afraid. So he begged and boasted, who is this Narada Muni? He's not very serious, he's very childish, he speaks so much nonsense. He simply jokes, he goes around and speaks bad to one person about another person. In this way he makes them fight. We cannot take his words very seriously. Even if I'm sleeping, resting, or I'm not prepared, demigods, they cannot threaten me. With my mighty arms, I can shake the whole earth. What to speak about these insignificant demigods? So he was speaking like a madman, trying to cover up his fear, but in reality, he was deadly frightened. And then he told to the servants, tell my friends, Keshi, Denuka, Arishta, Putana, and others, to go around the state and find all those who criticize me or our camp, and to beat them severely and kill them if necessary. And also tell them to find the newborn children and kill them as well. Also chain Vasudeva and Devaki in iron shackles, put them in prison, and let me know when Devaki is pregnant. So in this way, Kansa started atrocities and persecution throughout his kingdom. Meanwhile, Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, he noticed Kansa's nefarious activities and started contemplating. Lord Vishnu thought, certainly, Kansa is going to kill the first six children of Devaki. But then, my planar expansion, he will appear as the seventh child and I'll appear as the eighth child. And I'll kill Hamsa. And by thinking like this, he remembered Sadgarbhas. These are particular demons, sons of Kalanemi, that resided at the time in Patila Loka. They were grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kalanemi was the son of Hiranyakashipu, and these Sadgarbhas, they were sons of Kalanemi. In this way, they were grandsons of great demon Hiranyakashipu. So long, long time ago, these Sadgarbhas, they worshipped Lord Brahma, following the footsteps of their grandfather. They did great tapasya to please Lord Brahma, who eventually appeared before them and asked them for benediction. And they asked Similarly, like in Kashyapu, they're not killed by any human being, by any demigod, by any demon. That they are basically death with mortality, and Lord Brahma, being pleased with them, granted them the boon. But then what happened? Their own grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, he got greatly angered. How did you dare worship this Brahma and neglect me? I'm the supreme person in this universe. In this way, by worshipping him instead of me, you lost all my mercy and all my affection. And I curse you that in your next life, you'll be killed by your own father as soon as you are born. So in this way, they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu. And his curse was working. It was potent. He had the power to curse. So this Sadgarbha, since then, they were doing great tapasya under the water in Patala Loka. So Lord Vishnu, by his mystic potency, he went there and he found them under the water, but they were in deep sleep. Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, he has completely covered them. So they were deeply sleeping. So Lord Vishnu, by his mystic potency, he took their souls from the body and handed them to Nidra Devi, who is none other than Yoga Maya. And he asked them to implant these six children into the womb of Devaki, one after another. And then he explained to her that after that, Lord Balaram, his planetary expansion will appear in the womb of Devaki and the seventh child. And he instructed Yoga Maya to transfer the Devaki, that to transfer Lord Balaram from the womb of Devaki to womb of Rohini, who at that time would be in Vrindavan. And also he instructed her to appear as the daughter of Yashoda and explain her that there will be exchange so in order to confuse Kamsa. So as we know, everything transpired as it was planned by the Lord and executed by his Yoga Maya potency. Six children were born immediately after the birth. They were all killed by Kamsa. Then Lord Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki and he was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And then Lord Krishna appeared. Meanwhile, Yoga Maya was switched by Vasudev for Krishna. And then when Vasudev tried to kill her, he could not do it. She rose up in the sky with all the weapons and scared Kamsa and later went to the heavenly planets. But you might ask, what happened to these six children? As we know, at the end of the 10th canto, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Vasudev, being inspired by the sages, hearing the glories of the Lord and his supremely powerful position, he offered him very nice prayers in the mood of awe and reverence. Lord accepted these prayers, but he would rather prefer that Vasudeva was not so aware of his supreme potency, because this awareness disturbs the parental relationship. Anyway, after the Devaki came in front of the Lord, and she submitted her plea, "My dear Lord, you all-powerful ones, please show me once more my six children that were killed by Kamsa. You are all-powerful and you can do anything. And I heard that you brought the son of your guru, Sandipani Muni, back from death. So I'm sure you can also do the same with my six children." And Lord Krishna and Balaram immediately, upon hearing the request of their mother, they, by their mystic potency, they flew to Sutala, the abode of Bali Maharaj. And as soon as they arrived, Bali Maharaj, he offered them obeisances, he seated them and did the puja, worshipped them and asked them what he can do for them. And Lord requested that these six children of Devaki were born in front of him. Somehow they still, after so many years, they remain in that baby form there in the planet of Sutala. And the Lord also explained to Bali the previous history of these sons of Kalaneemi. He explained that in their previous life, they were actually sons of Marichi, son of Lord Brahma. In this way, grandsons of Lord Brahma. And it happened once that Lord Brahma was overcome by lust and was going after his own daughter in the pursuit of sex pleasure. And when these six saw it, they laughed. You think it was not a big deal, but actually it constituted great offense to ridicule the great personality, even if he sometimes commits mistakes, as Lord Brahma did. They laughed, and in this way, they lost all the mercy and fell from the heavenly planets in next life, were born as the sons of Kalaneemi, sons of a demon. And they again had to be killed immediately after birth in their next life. So this just illustrates how severe is to offend a great personality like Lord Brahma, who is a pure Vaishnava, by the way. So Lord Bali, he brought his six children, and Lord Krishna Balaram took them and brought them in front of the mother Devaki, and he was immensely pleased. She suckled them, she gave them her breast milk to drink, and since that breast milk was previously drank by Lord Krishna, it was Mahaprasadam, so all these six, they got purified. And after drinking the milk of their mother, they bowed down to Vasudev, Devaki, Lord Krishna and Balaram, circumambulated them, and left back the heavenly planets where they were reinstated in their positions as demigods. And Devaki and Vasudev were completely amazed to see this miraculous event. Let us go now back to our hero Kamsa. You might ask, what happened to him after killing these six children? Well, we know that he could not kill Krishna, and then eventually, 11 years later, Lord Krishna killed him. So what was his destiny after being killed by Krishna? Anybody can guess? He attained liberation. What kind of liberation? Can you guess what kind of liberation he attained? Anybody? Was it Sayujya, merging? Or some other sort of liberation? Okay, nobody wants to guess. So let's see what Srimad Bhagavatam says. So in the seventh canto, Narada Muni tells the story of the fall down of Jaya and Vijaya to Maharaj Yudhishthir, and in concluding shlokas of that 10th chapter, he recites the following verse. He says, not only Shishupal and Dantavakra, but also many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna attained salvation at the time of death. Because they thought of the Lord, they received spiritual bodies and forms the same as his, just as worms captured by a black drone obtain the same type of body as the drone. So this is very nice analogy. Worms that are captured by a black drone, because of intense meditation in fear, meditation on the drone, they become black drones in next life. So similarly, Kamsa was always meditating in great fear of black drone called Krishna in his full form as Lord Vishnu. And in his next life, he attained the same form. So it was not Sayujya Mukti, it was Sarupya. He attained the same form of the Lord. And this is
also confirmed by Srila Prabhupada in that purport. Srila Prabhupada says, by devotional service, pure devotees who incense in the thing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead receive bodies similar to His. This is known as Sarupya Mukti. Although Shishupal, Dantavakra and other kings thought of Krishna as an enemy, they also achieved the same result. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya says, Pondrake Narake Chaiva, Shalve Kamsecha Rukmini, Avishtas tu harer bhaktas tad bhaktya harim appire. Pandraka narakasura shalva kalsa rukmi. They were all inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because all these kings constantly thought of Him, they achieved the same liberation, sarupya mukti. The jnana bhaktas, the devotee who follow the path of jnana, also attains the same destination. And Srila Jiva Goswami also confirms this, his Krishna Sambarda, that these demons, they all attain Sarupya Mukti. He says, the unequal power and opulence of Sri Krishna is described in the canto of Bhagavatam. In this canto we find the story of Kalaneemi, a demon killed by Lord Vishnu, who is never defeated by anyone. When killed by the Lord Vishnu, the demon Kalaneemi did not attain liberation, but again appeared in the material world as King Kamsa. When the same demon was again killed by Lord Krishna, the same demon immediately became liberated. From this account, we may understand that demon directly killed by Lord Krishna immediately attained a liberation. Demons directly killed by Lord Krishna immediately attained liberation. Although demons killed by Lord Vishnu or other forms of the Lord do not necessarily attain liberation, by this way, we may see the singular power and greatness of Lord Krishna. So, any demon Krishna kills, he immediately attains liberation. While the other forms of the Lord, when they kill demons, they may not attain liberation. Rupa Goswami also confirms this in Laghu Bhagavatamrita when he analyzes the Shishupala's liberation. As we know, Shishupal, in his first birth, originally he was Jai from Vaikuntha, and then he appeared as Hiranyakashipu in this world, and he was killed by whom? By Lord Nrisimhadev. Did he attain liberation? No. He attained just great power and opulence. So he was born as who? As Ravana. He was born as Ravana in his next life. And again in this life he was killed by Lord Rama. But again he did not attain liberation, but became Shishupal. Again he attained some material result of being, as the result of being killed by the Lord. He became a great opulent King Shishupal. But when Shishupal was killed by Krishna, Shishupal attained Sarupya Mukti and went back to the spiritual world. So this shows that Krishna's form is the supreme form, and that he bestows liberation even to the demons he kills. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the next chapter, this is one sloka, 8 sloka, in which the Lord asks Yoga Maya to go and transfer the Lord Balaram to the womb of Rohini. So in the purport to that shloka, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he's asking interesting question. He's asking, how is it possible the 6 material children, meaning of these 6 garbhas, could first appear in the womb of Devaki, who is the internal spiritual energy of the Lord? Devaki, she is a personification of the bhakti. And her womb is also spiritual. So how can some 6 mundane children appear in her womb? And then he answers, just as all material universes exist within the Lord without contaminating Him, similarly, these 6 mundane children, they could be born within the Devaki, but still not contaminate her. And then he quotes Bhagavad Gita, Matstani Sarabhutani Nachaham Teshvavastita. although all living entities in me, I am not in them. So that this, the womb of Devakishi represents a conjunction of material and spiritual, which happens in everybody's personal spiritual life. So that we are practicing bhakti, that we are chanting and hearing about Krishna and doing other limbs of bhakti, at the same times, we might have and usually have some material desires, and we wish to experience some sense objects. Vishnu Chakritakuri explains that these six sons of Kalanemi, Sadgarbhas, they represent six objects of the senses: sound, touch, form, taste, smell, and thought. Devaki is incarnation of bhakti, and Kamsa, he is incarnation of fear. So as Kamsa, who is the incarnation of fear, kills these things, six sons of Devaki, who represent the material sense objects. Similarly, desire for sense gratification, desire for sense objects that exist in the heart of sadhaka, of those devotees who perform bhakti, it's killed. How? It's killed by the fear. What kind of fear? By the fear of material world, by fear of sense gratification, by fear of maya. And this is good fear. When this fear appears in our heart, the tendency to enjoy the matter decreases. And then our spiritual practice can take off. The bhakti in our heart can become more potent and more powerful once we lose the desire to enjoy material sense gratification. So we do need to be fearful of maya, of sense gratification. If we are not fearful, then we'll be careless, and then the danger will be at every step. We know from Shastra the examples of those who were not very careful and were not very fearful, and they might have achieved high levels of advancement, but still, because they were not fearful, they fell down. We have example of Maharaj Bharat, who fell from level of Baba just because of affection towards deer. We have an example of Jamil, who fell just because seeing a prostitute being embraced by lusty men. And many other examples are there. So some fear of material world has to be there in order for us to become serious in practice of bhakti. Otherwise, if we are not fearful, we'll think, oh, no problem, let me try this, let me just enjoy a little bit. It won't do any harm. But it will do a lot of harm. It can create havoc. It can create disaster. So if we are not fearful, then nobody can help us. So it's a healthy fear of maya. We have also example of Markandeya Rishi. He actually didn't want any sense gratification. He didn't want any maya, but he was just a little bit curious. He wanted to see Lord's illusory potency. And he asked, my Lord, can I see your maya? Lord smiled, but it was a kind of half bitter smile. Okay, you can see it. But then you have to experience the bad effects of it. And we know that he was tossed in the ocean devastation for millions of years, and he suffered immensely just because he was not fearful of maya. Another point I want to make is that mind absorbing Krishna is the cause of liberation. As the example of Kamsa shows, he was absorbed in thought of Lord by walking, by sleeping, by doing anything. He was constantly thinking about Krishna in fear. And again, Narada Muni, in one shloka, he tells to Maharaj Yudhishthira, kama dveshat bayat snehat yata bhakti aveshvare mana aveshatat agam hitva bahavastat gatim gatha. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, or envy, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain to you how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating mind upon Him. So mind can be concentrated upon Lord Krishna in different ways. It can be through lust, like gopis did, although it was a transcendental lust. It could be through fear, as Kamsa did. It could be through envy, as Shishupal did. But all these ways, they are not recommended for us, because they were not favorable. Envy and fear are not favorable. So Narada Muni says in this next sloka, Gopya kamat bhayat kamso dvesha chay dhyadhyo nripa sambandad vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya bhayam vibho. My dear King Yudhishthir, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kansa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, and you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. A few shlokas later, he says, Tasma kenabhyu payena mana Krishna niveshayet, shloka which Srila Prabhupada quotes very often. Somehow or other, by any means, one should fix the mind of Krishna. One gets the Krishna's mercy by somehow or other absorbing his mind in Him. So even Kamsa, who absorbed his mind out of fear, he got full mercy of Krishna, attained the same form of Him. And now he's liberated Vishnudutta in Vaikuntha Loka. But we belong, most of us, I hope, to the category of general devotees. And for us, what is prescribed for us, it's Vaidhi Bhakti, regulated devotional service. So through the practice of this regulated devotional service, Krishna can also appear in our heart. So what is the process by which our mind can become absorbing Krishna? Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting is the main process by which our heart can become pure. Even if at the moment is full of material desires that are disturbing us, but still if we engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna, sooner or later, material desires from our hearts will vanish. And we know the famous slokas that we recite before Bhagavatam Klan. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suharitstatam. Abhadrani, whatever is inauspicious, it's cleansed from one's heart when one hears the message of the Lord. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. And the next sloka says, Nashta Praesha Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhagavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes of the Bhagavata and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome into the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the Personality of Godhead, who is praised by transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So if we just continue hearing about Krishna, all these material desires, desires for sense gratification, will gradually vanish. But we have to hear, and to hear means to hear regularly. Not once a month, once a week, or when we remember. No, it has to be daily. As we chant 16 rounds daily, similarly we have to hear about the Lord's pastimes daily in order for our heart to get purified. Otherwise, if we just hear for Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima and other festivals, then it will take many, many years for the heart to get purified. And then once the heart is purified, Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye cheta etar anavidam stitam satve prasidati. As soon As irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So if we regularly hear about Krishna, his name, form, qualities and pastimes, all these desires that are troubling us at the moment will disappear and we will become completely happy. Because the lower gunas, tamas and rajas, it will go away from our heart. So this time before Janmashtami is just the right opportunity to increase our hearing and chanting about Krishna in the company of devotees or alone, somehow or other, we should do it. And this is a great opportunity for us to purify our heart and attain the supreme benediction. So let me just summarize. I had a few points. First one was that a healthy fear of material world is that what kills material desires, which is that what is helpful to renounce the sense gratification. Second point was that Krishna's form is the supreme form above all other forms, and that absorption in that form grants liberation. Next point was that mind concentrated on Krishna is the cause of liberation. And as the last point was that hearing and chanting about Krishna, his name, form, qualities and pastime is the main process through which we can attract Krishna's mercy. Okay, I will stop here if you have any comments or questions. Oh, here's the clock. So we still have 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu, Jivanand Prabhu, mic, please. Give him a mic.
So Prabhu, thank you for the class. Your first point about the fear. I'm just thinking when one gets fearful, like a really shock fear, we tend to freeze. We can't do anything because we're in a state of shock and fear. So should devotees act in that state of, well, I can't go out on Hari Nam. Well, I can't do book distribution because there's so many attractions out there. Should we be like that, or how do we treat this fear positively?
Yes, thank you. This is a good question. Definitely, we should not be in a state of shock, fear, and panic because it will just paralyze us and we won't be able to do anything. But should be a healthy fear which is balanced. Means it's not that we are now completely paralyzed. If I go out on the street and I see this car miss, I'm finished. We cannot function like that, definitely. No, we should have some sense, common sense. If we should know how much we can go without endangering our spiritual life. Common sense is required for that. So healthy fear that we can judge, if I do this much, it's okay. But if I do a little more, then I'm in danger. So balance has to be there. So it just requires some proper judgment to judge. And it's not that we should always just act out of fear. In this way our motivation will be a little not proper. We should love because we should act and perform the activities of devotional service because we want to please Krishna. And fear there is just as a secondary factor that will save us in dangerous situations. But not that we always should be full of fear, and you cannot live like this. It won't be healthy in any way for spiritual life or material life.
So basically then you're saying use your common sense.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada once said that an answer was use your common sense, and if you don't have any, you ask somebody who has.
Yeah, if we don't have any, yeah, we have to ask somebody. If you don't know is this dangerous or not, go to some senior devotee and ask him, get advice. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. On. Up. The button goes up.
Guruji, yes. First you said one should have a fear in mind.
From Maya.
Yeah. And his question was that only. But you said the both of the part one should have a balance between both. For the first time when a fear comes in mind, it gives a psycho fear, the entire metabolism of the body and mind that gets distorted. Then how to come out of that fear? That is the first step one feels in mind.
See, this fear of sense gratification appears usually only after we got burned many times. We did something, we indulged, and then we got burned and experienced bad effects of it. And then maybe it was not enough, so we do it second time, we do it third time, fourth time, and eventually, next time the opportunity comes, you don't want to do it anymore. You have healthy fear, because you know you will suffer. If you do it again, if you break the principles, for example, you know you will suffer, you have experience. So this is the healthy fear. It's not a paranoia that you're always thinking, oh, if I do this, if I do that, I'm finished. This is not good, but fear that has a basis in experience. You know, if you indulge in the unregulated sense gratification, you are going to suffer, and it is not good for you. And then, with this fear in the heart, desire to enjoy, tendency to enjoy, will automatically decrease. Because you know there is no happiness there. You have experience. You tried so many times to become happy by enjoying. But you were not successful. And now you don't want to try anymore. You don't want. You know, it's happiness is just not there. And you know that you will suffer if you try. So experience. But you can also hear from those who already experienced. You don't need to go through it yourself. If you are intelligent enough, if you have a first-class intelligence, you can hear from the experience of others who suffered, and then you can save yourself from suffering. This is also possible. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
A small question, Prabhu. In the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna, you say, the person of Godhead appears before Devaki. With the first appearance is four hands, like Mahavishnu Swarup. Devaki, in the present, Lord Krishna appears before Devaki with four hands, like Sri Mahavishnu Rupa.
Yes, yes.
But generally, it's very much attractive. Sri Krishna is the attractive appearance. Why he first appeared before Devaki with four hands and subsequently formed into two hands of Shyamasundar? Because generally whenever we see the Lord Krishna, we are being attracted. But when we are seeing the Lord Mahavishnu, then we are four hands with four types of weapons, like that is the one now.
Yeah, the Lord initially, when he appeared in the Kamsa's prison, he appeared as a four-handed Vishnu form. And then Vasudevaki, they offered prayers. But since it was very unusual scene, and if the guards would see it, it would cause a disturbance. And also, the parental feelings of Vasudevaki could not manifest by seeing this four-handed Vishnu form. So he transformed himself in his two-arm form as a small baby. And in this way, Devaki felt motherly affection for him, and she suckled him, she fed him with her breast milk before Vasudev took him across the Yamuna. So the Lord, he chose first to appear like this, but then he transformed into his form of Krishna. It's his pastimes and his free will to appear as he likes.
But one thing, Prabhu Devaki is a great devotee now.
Yeah.
See, he would have appeared before her, before the first instance itself as a Lord Krishna. So yes. That she will be more happy now.
Yes, she is the great devotee, but still that awe and reverence that one feels in the presence of the form of Vishnu is disturbs the Vatsalya Bhava. So in order to facilitate her Vatsalya Bhava, he had to manifest a normal child. Otherwise, it's very difficult to have a motherly affection for such a magnificent form as the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu. You can just have awe and reverence. It's difficult to have a motherly affection. But when you have a small baby which is very helpless, then it's very easy to feel motherly love. So in order to facilitate her love, he appeared like a small baby. Okay, thank you. It's already past 9, so we'll finish. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.